I'm reading from the book of Job, if you want to follow in your Bibles, and I wish you would. I'll be using several verses of Scripture today from Job 14, the 14th chapter of Job. Now, we'll begin our reading with verse 1. I'm going to read the first two verses of Job 14. Now, you're familiar with this Scripture. You've heard it read many, many times, mostly at funeral services. But you know, sometimes the most familiar Scriptures are read too hastily and too carelessly, and we sometimes miss the truth of that particular Scripture because of our familiarity with it. Now, you'll immediately, when I read this, you'll think, I've heard that read before dozens of times. I've heard it preached from it. Now, listen to it again. Would you listen to it again? One more time. Let's see if the Spirit of God will reveal some things from this Scripture that we need to hear and we need to know. Job 14. Now get your Bible and let's read. Man that is born of a woman. And that's the title of this message. Man that is born of a woman. Is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. Now, I want to look at this passage very carefully today. I want to look at it with a careful eye, with a hearing ear, and with an open heart. And the reason is Job was a believer. He knew God. The Lord called him my servant. I'm listening to God's servant speak here. And God said that Job was not only a man who feared the Lord, but he was a man who avoided and hated evil. Tell you something else about Job. He was not only the servant of the Lord and a man who feared God, but Job was a man who was acquainted with trials. I don't suppose any man suffered any more than this man Job. He was a man who endured many hardships and many trials. He was under the hand of God. And then another thing about Job, Job spoke for God. How do you know that, preacher? Well, God said this about Job. When the Lord, at the end of this book, when the Lord rebuked his friends, he said to these men, you haven't spoken of me that which is right. He told these men, these fellows that were sitting around talking to Job, he said, you haven't spoken of me the thing that's right, but Job has. Job, he says, has spoken of me the thing that is right. Now, wouldn't it be wise to listen to a man of God, to a servant of God, to a man who has learned his theology in the school of affliction, in the furnace of God? Listen to a man whom God himself said, he speaks for me. He speaks for me. Now, the key to this passage of Scripture, Job 14, there's a key to this Scripture. And the key to this Scripture is five questions asked by Job in these verses. Job asked five questions about life and death. Five questions about man's relationship with God and his relationship with eternity. So let's take the time today to look at these five questions asked by Job here in Job chapter 14. Now, he said, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. Now here's the first question. O Lord, dost thou open thine eyes upon such a one as this? That's the first question. Does the eternal Almighty God of heaven and earth, the God of holiness and purity and truth, does he care about such a creature as this? That cometh forth like a flower, is cut down, is a few days and full of trouble, fleeth as a shadow, as a thing of darkness? Does God regard such a creature? Does the holy God actually look upon such a frail, corrupt, decaying creature? David asked the same question. David said, "Oh Lord, when I consider the heavens, the sun, the moon, the stars, the things which thou hast made, what is man? What is man that thou art mindful of him?" Job said, "Man's born of a woman. God is spirit." Job said, "Man's a few days. God's eternal." Job said, "Man's full, just full of trouble. He produces trouble. He invites trouble. He makes trouble." Why? Because he's a sinner. He's full of trouble, full to overflowing with trouble and sin. But God is holy, immaculately, infinitely, eternally holy. Man is frail, comes forth like a flower. James says he's like the vapor, just a puff of smoke. Job said he's like a weaver's shuttle. His days move so rapidly. He comes forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth, man fleeth as a shadow. Every imagination of his heart is evil. There's none good, no, not one. None that understands. None that seeketh after God. A shadow. A shadow has no substance at all. A shadow, there's nothing as fleeting and empty and nothing as a shadow. And that's the way we're described. Does God, and this is what Job is saying, does God who dwelleth in the heavens, the heaven of heavens won't contain him, the earth is his footstool, does God look upon such a one as this? Does God care about something like this? Does God have anything for men? We don't deserve it. We don't earn it. If God did choose to look in our direction, just look in our direction, just glance in our direction, it'd be by a mighty work of grace. It'd be mercy on the part of God. Well, let's answer the question. Man born of woman, few days, full of trouble, cometh forth like a flower, is cut down, fleeth as a shadow, and continueth not. Doth God open his eyes upon such a one as this? Well, the greatest proof that he does, the greatest proof of his love and mercy towards creatures like you and me, is the fact that he not only opened his eyes upon such a one, not only looked upon and regarded and showed his care and concern for such a one, but he actually came to this earth in the form of such a one. God became a man, born of a woman. That's right, man that is born of woman. And that's exactly the way you describe Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ. He born, made of a woman, made under the law. He came into this world. He took upon himself the likeness of our sinful flesh. He who made the world was in the world. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh. And the Word was with God, and he dwelt among us. The Word was God, and we beheld his glory. God in human flesh. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Philippians 2:5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, and yet made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the likeness of sinful flesh, was made in the habit of a servant, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Dost thou open thine eyes upon such a one? Oh, yes. And more than just opening his eyes and caring. But he actually was numbered with the transgressors. He came down here himself and became a man. All right, here's the second question. Look at it, Job 14. Man that is born of woman is a few days full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower that is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. Dost thou open thine eyes upon such a one? Now, question number two. And will you bring me into judgment with you? Will this holy God bring me into his presence? This is what David asked in Psalm 24. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? Psalm 1 says the ungodly cannot stand in the judgment. Cannot stand in the judgment. Sinners cannot stand in the congregation of the righteous. Is it possible that such a creature that cometh forth like a flower, that's born of a woman, that fleeth as a shadow, shall actually stand in the presence of the Lord, in the hill of the Lord, in the judgment of the Lord? Shall I dwell in the presence of holiness? Can sons of Adam really be called sons of God? Will God actually, Job asked first, do you look upon such a one? Now he asks, will you actually bring such a one unto yourself? Not only look upon such a one, but will you bring us, will I stand with you in the judgment? Well, listen to what God says. I have the answer for that too. Revelation 21, 3 through 5. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, no more cutting down, no more fleeing as a shadow, no more passing away, no more sorrow, no more crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are taken away. Bringest thou me into judgment with thee? That's the second question. Oh, Lord God, is it possible? Well, that leads to the third question. Job recognizes when he asks these first two questions that if the answer is yes, that he's got a third question that poses a major problem, a major obstacle. He says, first of all, talks about what we are, what we are by nature, and who God is. And then he says, dost thou look upon such a one, even regard such a one? Now, will you actually bring me into your presence? Now he asks the third question. Look at it, verse 3. But I'm a sinner. I'm unclean. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Not one. Now God is holy. Job knew that. Who shall stand in his presence? Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? He that hath clean hands. But I'm unclean. He that hath a pure heart. I don't have a pure heart. He that has not lifted up his soul to vanity, that's not me. He who's never spoken deceitfully, well, that's not us. We're unclean. We're unclean. All have sinned and come short of God's glory. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. We all do fade as the leaf. Even our righteousnesses are filthy rags. Now, I have to be clean to stand in God's presence. I have to be as pure and holy and perfect as God. So if you look upon such a one and even decree that such a one should stand in your presence, who's going to bring a clean thing out of that unclean thing? He has to be clean to stand in God's presence. Who can do it? We can't do it. Who can make us clean? Who can make the unholy holy? Who can make the unrighteous righteous? Who can make the ungodly godly? Not one. Not one. In heaven, earth, or under the earth. Not one. Oh, yes, there's one. There's one. The Lord Jesus Christ can make the unclean clean and the unholy holy. The Scripture says this is why He came to the earth. This is why He took upon Himself our nature. It says this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. He said, I've come to seek and to save the lost. He said He died the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:20, He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made, actually made, the righteousness of God in Him. I can't bring a clean thing out of an unclean, but He can. I can't establish a perfect righteousness before God's law, but He can. I can't please a holy God, but He did. And the Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 1:30, of God are you in Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. This is the gospel message. This is the gospel message. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in Jesus Christ our Lord. He that hath the Son of God hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. Now, if you can believe, like Abraham of old, then you can stand in the presence of God. Not in your strength, not in your holiness, not in your righteousness, but in His. Now, here's the fourth question. Job goes on talking about man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth as a shadow and continueth not. Dost thou look upon such a one? Wilt thou bring me into judgment with thee? But Lord, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? And that's been established. Christ is our righteousness. Christ is our holiness. Now here's the fourth question. Look down at verse 12. But Job said, man dies. But man dies. The flesh dies. And wasteth away. You see that word? And wasteth away. Man dies and decays. He gives up the ghost. Now here's the question. Where is he? Where is he? You say, Lord, that you do look upon such a one. You say, Lord, that you will bring such a one into judgment or into thy presence, and that you do make us clean, but after all that's done, we still die. We still die. The old flesh dies, and we're placed in the grave, and when we're placed in the grave, we just decay, and there's nothing left. You can go back and dig someone up that's been buried 2 or 3 years in a foreign country where they don't have these vaults and metal caskets and all these things, you know, where they just put them in a box and put them in the ground, and there's nothing left. It's all just gone back to the soil. How can man dwell with God and live in a grave? How can man decay and rot and return to the dust? And yet you say he'll stand in judgment with you and stand in your presence. The body returns to the dirt, to the earth, to ashes. Yes. But man's not a body. Man's not a body. I hear people say, well, man's got a soul. Oh, you're wrong. You're wrong. Man doesn't have a soul. Man has a body. Man is a soul. God created Adam from the dirt and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul. This earthly tabernacle here, this frail, perishable tent, is not me, and that's not you. That's where you live. You're looking out of those windows. You're hearing with these receivers. You're speaking with this tongue. But when you leave this body, there won't be a thing changed as far as the body's concerned, except life is gone. You're gone. You moved out. The old house is empty. You've moved out. And the body returns to the dirt from which it came, and the soul returns to God who gave it. Job. But man dies, he says. And man wasteth away. He gives up the ghost. Where is he? Well, he's not in that body. He's not in the casket. He's not in the ground. 2 Corinthians 5:1 says, if our earthly house of this tabernacle, that's a tent, be dissolved, and it will be. And down there where they don't embalm them, you have to get them in the ground in 24 hours. It's like Martha said to the Lord, he's been dead 4 days. He stinketh. He's rotten. He's decaying. He's wasting away. But if this earthly house of this tent be dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And to be absent from this fleshly tabernacle is to be present with the Lord. That's what our Master said to the thief on the cross. He said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Well, his body wasn't in paradise. His body was taken down. They came by and they broke his legs to make sure he was dead. The thief took him down from the cross, wrapped him in a sheet, and stuck him in the ground. But Christ said, today you'll be with me in paradise. This is what had Job confused. He said, how can I go to the grave and go to be with God? How can I go to the grave? How can I dwell with God and lie in the tomb? My old house is buried. No man has the answers. Somebody says, well, what kind of, when we die, just if we die like that, we've dropped dead and our bodies start decaying and the soul goes to be with God, what kind of covering, what kind of body do you have in heaven while you're waiting the resurrection? I don't know, and nobody else does. But I do know this. I do know this. I know it's a building of God, a house not made with hands, and it's eternal in the heavens. And I do know this. Christ said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. You see, Moses came back from heaven. Moses died, and he came back from heaven and talked to the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses and Elijah, they stood on this earth. And then Lazarus, the beggar, you remember dwelling in Abraham's bosom? Well, Lazarus was dead. His body was in the tomb, but Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom. Abraham had died, body buried, but Abraham was talking to this rich man in hell. You see, there is no soul sleep. That's not taught in God's Word. There's no purgatory taught in God's Word. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Paul said, I'm in a strait betwixt the two. I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. So, Job, the answer to your question, but man dies and wasteth away. He gives up the ghost. Where is he? The ghost you're talking about, the spirit, the soul, that's the man. His earthly tabernacle is where it came from, back to dirt. Now the last question, verse 14, he comes to this question. Well, if a man die, shall he live again? He? Shall that man live again or another man? Shall that man, shall he live again? Well, my friend's answer to that is found in Job 19. He answered it himself. He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth and shall stand on this earth in the latter day. And though after my skin worms shall destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself and not another. Oh, yes, this man will live again, and that man will live again, and every man who's in Christ will live again. We'll know each other in heaven. We'll be ourselves in heaven. We're not going to be. When Moses came back and spoke to the Lord Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, he was Moses. He lived on this earth as Moses. He died as Moses. He went to heaven as Moses, and he's Moses now. Elijah, he didn't die. He was translated to heaven. But he was Elijah when he walked this earth. He was Elijah when he went to heaven. He was Elijah when he came back. You know, King Saul, even by God's permission, had brought Samuel back to this earth. Well, he was Samuel when he lived here. He was Samuel when he died. He was Samuel when he came back. And when you die, you'll be yourself when you die. And you'll be yourself wherever you go. And you'll be yourself throughout eternity. Well, shall that man live again? Now, shall he, man dies, shall he live again? Shall he live in flesh and bones? Oh, yes, that's what Christ said. Luke 24, when he died on the cross, was buried and rose again, he appeared to his disciples. He said, reach hither your hand and touch my hand. A spirit doesn't have flesh and bones as you see me have. Touch my hand, touch my feet. It is I. Be not afraid. Flesh and bone. And then he asked them for something to eat. You see, 1 Corinthians 15 says that we'll have glorified flesh. There's different kinds of flesh. This is not the only flesh in the world. There's a flesh of fish and the flesh of birds and the flesh of beasts and the flesh of men. And there's glorified flesh. And glorified flesh is as far above the flesh of men now as the flesh of men is above the flesh of fish. You don't compare your flesh to fish flesh, do you? You don't have much compassion for a fish. You'll take a knife and scrape his skin off. Shall that man live again? Yes, that man will live again. And Christ said he'll never perish. I give him eternal life and he'll never perish. Well, if you want this message on tape to listen to, give to a friend, or study a little bit more of the five questions of Job, man that's born of a woman, send $2. Here's the address. You send the $2, and we'll mail you this tape, and the message I'll preach next week, we'll send it right away. Till next week, God bless you, everyone.